Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, a decade ago, an Australian called Belle Gibson made an extraordinary claim. She said she'd beaten brain cancer through her diet. Spoiler alert, there was no cancer. But that wasn't before she had managed to do quite well out of it. Gibson's story has now been dramatised for a Netflix series called Apple Cider Vinegar. Bo Donnelly is an investigative journalist with Bellingcat and co-author of The Woman Who Fooled the World, the true story of fake wellness guru Belle Gibson. Good afternoon to you, Bo.
Hi, Sean.
When did you first become aware of her? And was this before there was any suspicion around these claims?
So my colleague at The Age, Nick Toscano, and I first became aware of Belle Gibson around early 2015, when she was really at the height of her fame. At that point, Nick and I really weren't in the wellness scene at all. Our idea of being well was pints at the pub. but I got a tip that actually came into the newsroom, which said that there was this successful businesswoman from Melbourne who built this empire off the back of a miraculous cancer survival story, but that none of it was true. And through that tip, I was put onto a woman in Belle's inner circle, one of her close friends at the time called Chanel, and she explained to me why she suspected Belle's story to be false. And from there, Nick and I started digging into her claims, and we ended up speaking to about half a dozen people who were very close to her and who expressed their doubts about what she'd been saying on social media and what she'd told the tech company Apple and her publisher Penguin, and also what she'd said in media interviews.
And give us some idea of the kind of empire she had built as a result of all this.
Sure. So Belle Gibson really emerged in the early 2010s. She built this global profile off the back of a miraculous story of curing her own terminal brain cancer with healthy eating after dumping conventional medicine when she was given just weeks to live. She collected hundreds of thousands of followers on Instagram as one of the very first health and wellness influencers to emerge on the platform. And from there, she developed this empire called The Whole Pantry. And this included building one of Apple's most popular health and wellness apps at the time. The app was actually going to be just one of a dozen on Apple's first ever smartwatch, alongside Nike and Twitter and Pinterest. And then she went on to write a best-selling cookbook, which was published by Penguin. All along the way, Belle Gibson gave health advice to her followers, and she said she helped, you know, a lot of people turn away from conventional medicine.
Yeah, and through all of this process, particularly publishers and the hosts for Instagram and the like, they never questioned any of these claims, or they never asked her to verify the claims.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really important point. None of the companies who were associated with Belle Gibson, who endorsed her, who pushed her out to the media, none of them checked her story. So, I mean, in the case of Apple, Apple really handpicked Belle Gibson. They bestowed awards upon her. They flew her to California. As I mentioned, they were going to pre-install her app on their watch. They never checked the story. And when the news broke in the media, there was just silence from Apple. In the background, they quietly severed all ties with her, and they cut the app from the watch. And then they deleted any reference of her from their website. And Penguin was the same. I think that's important to mention that Penguin also never bothered to fact check any of the claims that she had made or that she published in her book. I think to some extent the people she dealt with in these organizations were sucked in by this amazing story of cancer survival. But it is hard to fathom that not one person raised any concerns. And I think that's because they saw dollar signs.
Prior to that, all this happening, is there any evidence as to whether, A, this was a completely cynical move on her part, or perhaps she was something of a fantasist anyway?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of speculation about what drove Belle Gibson. A little while after we wrote the initial stories and everything started to unravel, she came out in the Australian Women's Weekly, and she admitted that none of her story was true. And that was followed by a real sort of train wreck of an interview on 60 Minutes, for which she was paid $75,000. And she just seemed to make the whole thing worse during that interview. She couldn't give a straight answer. And many people were left wondering what the motivation was. So people were asking, what was she a typical fraudster? Was she delusional? Was she suffering from some kind of mental illness? Was it a combination of both? For the book, Nick and I went back to her past. We spoke to a lot of people from her childhood. We spent a lot of time with her mother. We met with her grandmother. What we know is that Belle Gibson told lies from a very young age, and she seemed to sort of make up stories for attention. We also established that she had a fairly troubled childhood. The way Belle Gibson would tell it, she was neglected as a child. She said she left home at the age of 12 and lived with a much older man who she was working for. So I think there's an element of sort of disadvantage and attention-seeking behaviour, and certainly people have speculated about mental illness. I think it's important to note too, though, that a lot of people have had it tough. They didn't have ideal childhoods. They've come from neglected or disadvantaged backgrounds, but they didn't go on to become cancer scammers.
Yeah. Now, you did mention that you you interviewed her mother. As I understand it, there's no contact between Belle and her mother now.
That was the case. Her mother has since passed away a few years ago. But yeah, at the time that Belle Gibson's star was rising, she wasn't in contact with her mother, and she was estranged from her family. We spoke to the mother for several hours over a number of months on the phone, and I guess we were left with the impression that she probably did have a sort of chaotic childhood. Her mother would sort of switch between adoration of Belle and asking us to sort of check in with her and make sure she was okay. And then almost in the same breath, she would call her a pathological liar who's told fibs from a young age. Mm. So it's a very complex relationship that they had. And as far as I know, Belle Gibson is still estranged from you know, her immediate family, her younger brother and her granny.
Yeah. And were there people around Belle Gibson? Now, as you know, as we already alluded to, an awful lot of organisations and individuals just didn't bother checking. But were there people close to her who knew this wasn't true?
So this is really how it came about, our reporting in the Age newspaper. We'd been contacted by a close friend, and we started to check out the story. It was a very difficult story to try and write. We originally wanted to write a story basically saying, you know, people in Belle Gibson's inner circle have cast doubt over her cancer diagnosis. But as journalists, we don't have access to someone's medical records for good reason. Mm. So it was a very tricky story to write. And none of the sort of half a dozen friends that we were chatting to would go on the record. So there was certainly rumblings, and people were starting to express concerns publicly. I mean, by the time they come to a journalist, one person had already gone to the police. And there were concerns expressed to Penguin. We know that Penguin did a media training video with her, which was since released as part of a court case against Belle Gibson. And that was right on the eve of the book launch. And in that video, they grilled her for about 90 minutes on her story. And it's pretty clear watching that video that the executives at Penguin had serious concerns about everything she was saying.
Uh-huh. When the story came out, how vitriolic was the reaction against her then?
It was unlike anything I had seen and anything that I've experienced on a story that I've reported since. There was such an outpouring of just sort of disgust and directed at Belle Gibson. The public shaming of Belle Gibson was immense. Nick and I have never received so many calls and messages and emails from the general public to do with the story. I mean, we were contacted by people who followed her. We were contacted by doctors, nurses, oncologists, just people in the general public who were pissed off. Anyone who people who had cancer, people who had had family members who had cancer or lost a loved one to cancer. And that theme really continued when she did her first interview with the Women's Weekly and then again after the interview with 60 Minutes. And it's sort of continued to this day, even though Belle Gibson has kept a very low profile in the years since.
Yeah. Is it known where she is or what she's up to?
We know she's still in Melbourne living with her son. Over the years, some reporters have tracked her down, you know, a TV camera crew ambushed her at a petrol station. At one point she emerged in a video that showed that she'd sort of ingratiated herself with a local African community in Melbourne and maybe doing some fundraising activities on their behalf, which really added fuel to the fire in Australia at the time. Belle Gibson was prosecuted in the Australian Federal Court in 2017, and she was convicted of deceptive and misleading conduct, and she was fined $410,000. As far as we know, she hasn't paid a cent of that fine. So the last meaningful update that we got from the prosecuting authority, which is Consumer Affairs Victoria, was that not a cent of the fine had been paid. And when we went back to them a few weeks ago just to check in, they said they were still pursuing her for the fine, but they wouldn't tell us how much of it was outstanding. I suspect the vast majority, if not all of it, hasn't been paid. And that's something that has really continued to sort of fuel the vitriol against her.
Yeah, indeed. Bo, thank you so much for speaking with us today. The name of the Netflix series is Apple Cider Vinegar, and that is based on the book co-written by Bo Donnelly, which is called The Woman Who Fooled the World, a true story of fake wellness guru Belle Gibson.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.